G'day everyone and welcome to the crossover. You are live with me. I am Matty G and this is Adam King, who's since last been on with, he's lost the screen behind him and we're back to the staircase. The boy who lives above the stairs, one Mr. Adam King. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. Hopefully no one walks behind me. But who cares? If they do, they do. You've got balloons in your background, so I can't compete with that anyway.
My thing went down, so this is obviously going to be in the house for the next couple of months. It was my wife's birthday last Friday. We birthday hard here. She was like, I want to make sure that our son, because he's so young, is like, when he sees it's a birthday, we celebrate birthdays and we celebrate Christmas. I'm like, awesome. And now that just means that there is like a ton. Here you go, look at this. The cat is now sleeping on a pile of balloons just behind me as well. So this is what the house will probably look like until Valentine's Day. And like I said, in another pod, I'm just going to add some red ones and be like, surprise, honey, it's all new.
Yeah, good idea. I don't have balloons. We did buy, actually, hang on, look, if I turn my camera a little bit.
Let's get artwork.
We bought a cat tower there.
You did bring a cat tower. Look at that.
And it's
intense.
It is intense. It's very heavy, and I'm taller than it, but not by much. It's like 1.85 meters tall. So
that's massive.
It's a big boy, yeah. So the cats are adjusting to life with a much more robust cat tree tower, whatever they're called. I don't know.
Do you call it Carl or Big Apple? Just because, you know,
that's
where the cat is now. Hey, look, make sure if you are joining us, hello. If you are joining us live across all any of your platforms, we are live across on YouTube, on FBI Basketball International, of course, on my home court, on Insight Fantasy Sports, and on our X tonight. If you do have any questions or stream ads, make sure you hit those up to us. We're going to get down to those tonight, right throughout the throughout the evening as we chat and talk fantasy basketball. It is week 5 and I want to start off with a bit of a humdinger, and this is something I think – I know you've done the daily breakdown, so we could probably – do you want to do, like, daily stuff, like, later? Just talk about – do you want to – listen, give me your top 5 notables from your daily show people can catch up on, Kingy. Top 5.
I should know, shouldn't I, because I only did it.
You did the show.
2 hours ago. So I think – what did we talk about –
Dyson Daniels, most improved player award in the NBA this year. Looks like a surefire thing.
Yeah, most improved and defensive player of the year. So there you go. Like, I just don't know.
Stop. No. Just because you want your flowers to take the I knew Dyson Daniels was going to be excellent award doesn't mean we can give him every award to make sure that you win that one, Kingy. It's not how that works. But third. He is third on the tote. To be fair, he is kind of, Victor Wembanyama is 162, Mobley is second at 950, and Sportsbet's paying $11 right now for him. And most improved player of the year, funnily enough, he is fourth behind Jalen Williams, Jalen Johnson, and LaMelo Ball is the third.
That's weird. He hasn't improved. He's just healthy. Maybe it's most improved health. Because that's been better. Touch wood. I want to touch any wood that I've got. There's a Grady Dick reference.
There's a very big – it's a very big Grady Dick reference.
Very big. What did I talk about? I talked about watching TJ McConnell because he played good minutes today and he was pretty good. Jalen Duren looked better. I talked about not rushing to grab Keon Ellis because he hit almost more threes today than he has all season.
Hold on. Now, that being said, though, I want to chop this up. I want to chop this up depending on the format because I'm a Keon Ellis truther, and I just want to have an honest conversation where I can probably put all of my Keon Ellis stock. Like, I'm on Keon Ellis Island in many things. I'm in a 20-man in the Ball Page leagues. Shout out to all those on Ball Page, anyone watching live or just listening back to the pod. And someone was like, Keon's trash. And I was like, no, I think in the format where you've got 10 men on your team, but there's a 10-spot roster thing, and you're 20 positions deep, and you are looking, generally speaking, at the top 200, and you're opening up, let's like just take off the top of it. You're streaming at least one spot, if not two. You're looking at your top 160 players should be activated in your league. I think especially in 11 cats where thousand things are account, that the Keon Ellis is a top 150 player, And in those kind of formats and deeper teams, he should absolutely be active and not so much of a stream target.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Look, I'm not saying we're not totally ignoring what he did today because we know he's
today was
an outlier. But no, I mean, he's a good player. He makes a difference when he's on the court. It's pretty obvious. It's just the minutes have been weird. But
very weird.
Yeah.
Byproduct of the TJ McConnell question, just looking down on the box score of these guys today, there was big minutes for guys like Jairus Walker, Enrique Freeman also getting minutes there. TJ with 26 minutes, again, doing TJ things. Could we just see him, the Nems being out of the rotation so much in this one, being a product, so we just ride him and we pick him up for a couple of games until Naismith and Nembhard are back, or even Turner's back in the lineup, I guess you could say.
Yeah, Turner and Shepherd was out today as well. So, look, I mean, he only needs 25 minutes. So, if he's available, I'd just grab him and see. Maybe you get a week. Maybe you get nothing. Maybe this was it. But we know that he can do it because he's done it for sustained periods before. So, yeah, I like him as just a flyer.
And I'm going to ask you this one right here, and we're going to let me switch into screen share mode. Here we go. Let's click over onto this one for 1 second there, First King. I want to talk a little bit about these guys. I've got hashtag basketball and basketball monster up here. We're talking about guys who are hard, and we're going to look at just over real quickly because it comes to the Tyrese Haliburton point. Let's say we're looking at 12 team rosters. We're looking through the top 12 right here, and the anomaly come draft day. Let's just mix and match it a little bit. And this is over the course of the season right here so far. We've got Jokic and Wemby, interchangeable 1 and 2. We knew that. AD 3, happy for that. Shea there, fine. Steph at 5, really good to see. For those who took him in the second round or even late first, great. Cat, second round favorite, moved in before ADP data. Tatum, bang on 7. Like if you were taking him at 7, you're looking at Jason Tatum, and he is where he is on the year. Kevin Durant, nice. Some people were out on the first round on him, but he's been out injured. Sabonis, solid. 13 games played. Number 9, we can get that. Jalen Williams, after a really slow start, has just jumped up into the 10th spot there. Kyrie on hashtag is 11th. LaMelo is 12. Then we start to get down to the murky area where Harden was. Robert Williams coming back in after 4 games and just not missing a shot of basketball and shooting beautifully from the free throw line until DeAndre Ayton comes back and Donovan Klingon gets rolled on out there. But the big name that is out that we can see down as we go down to the top 25 is we cannot see in the first 2 rounds the name of one Tyrese Haliburton. This is not the case. This is still the case as well over on Basketball Monster. We go down and there's interchangeable names here. This is over the last week and on the full season. Tyrese Haliburton is not that first round player. Would he be at this point in time, could we argue, the most disappointing first round player, but also the player that people are very hesitant to move on because they invested such a pick on him? So you might think it's a buy low up window, but you don't get buy lows on guys like Tyrese when someone's using a top, 4 to 8 pick on him.
Yeah, he's a tough one. In terms of, is he the most disappointing first rounder? Probably. I'd have to have a look at exactly who went in the first round. But as you said, Wemby's there, AD's there, Tatum is there. Sabonis was sort of there. Trae Young has been maybe a little bit underwhelming, but certainly nowhere near the level of Haliburton. So I'd say he has been, and I don't know whether there's an issue like an injury or something going on here. I'd argue that Joel Embiid is, but I told no one to draft him. So
I was the same. On my big board, I left him out. I mean, like we all knew that we were messing around with it. I know Alex Reclean, shout out to you, Reclean. And we know we love Alex. He was like, preach the gospel of Joel Embiid being great. But that was then before we had that 1 week out from the season and Joel Embiid saying, hey, don't want to play back-to-backs, not doing this kind of chicanery. And then that just shifted the radar entirely, especially through like AD, you know, where we're doing like draft after draft and 3 mock drafts a day.
Yep.
You're doing that a week out for your draft, and then you just take back, like, I regret everything. Yeah. All of my punts build is going out the window. But this leads to the next point of tonight's show. You were talking about this to me last week. I want to flesh out this theory with you, and this was on the back, and this is why Chet Holmgren was our cover photo. You just threw out a text to me last week, and you said, Matty, let's talk about how punting can possibly help you to negate injury risk in your leagues. And I was like, this is really interesting to me because I have a concept in my head about that, and I want to hear it from you because this is fascinating to me.
Yeah, I just think it's a good discussion because I think it can go either way. I think punting can help with injuries, I think, but it can also have the reverse effect depending on how well you punt. So for me, I wanted to bring it up because I punt in all my leagues. I punt
everything.
So I'm just pulling up some leagues now. My team. So leagues that I'm doing well in. So I'm in one league and I'm coming second. So I'm in second place and I'm punting four categories. Currently, I've got at the moment, if I look at my injury report, so I've got Mark Williams hasn't played, but I drafted Mark Williams. He has not played. Hartenstein has not played. Scotty Barnes hasn't played a lot. Nick Richards, who I streamed in straight away, has been injured. Walker Kessler's been out. So I'm missing Kessler, Richards, Barnes, Hartenstein, Williams. And I've still won every week because I.
This is a two center league, right?
Yes.
Surely.
No, surely. It's not. No. It's not.
How many flex spots have you got there?
Two. So it's. So I've actually got Mark Williams, Isaiah Hartenstein, Nick Richards, Walker Kessler, Donovan Klingon, Anthony Davis, Mason Plumlee, Goga Bitadze, Jalen Duren. So I've got a lot of centers. It's only one center, but it's quite a shallow starting roster. So there's only seven starting spots and like seven bench spots. So it's sort of a weird setting. So it does mean that I can have a lot of centers and often I am having to pick and choose who I play, but I've had so many injuries that it hasn't mattered. And I guess where I'm going with that is that despite having all of those injuries, if I sort of read off those names as players who I don't have, you would say, well, there's no way you're competing in rebounds or blocks because you've got all of your bigs out. Yet I'm still winning the categories that I should be winning. And as I said, I'm sitting second, and people, when you punt like I do, there is that argument that because you can only really win 5-4, maybe 6-3, it's hard to finish first or second because you don't get those 8-1 victories or anything like that. But I managed, like I'm second, and for me it is about obviously getting those bulk wins, like the 7-2s and that sort of thing. They help, but they also just helps to win every week, and because you might win 7-2 and then 6-3, but then you might lose 1-8 and 3-6, and so it sort of balances out. So that's, I guess, where I was going with that. That's a good example of. Having multiple injuries to players that would be starting, and yet I'm still second and sitting pretty comfortably, and that's been the case in a couple of my leagues where I've had, like, I've got Hartenstein in a ton of leagues, I've got Quickley in a lot of leagues. Who else? I mean, even
I've
industry
got, I've
pickup.
Got Quickley. I've got I'm decimated in industry pickup last week. This roster spots with positions Quickley has done my head in. DeAndre Ayton done my head in. Anthony Simons, and I was looking really good. Like, I'm up against Dan Titus this week from Yahoo, and Dan and I were talking the other week, and we were like, "Look, we're pretty much we think we've got a pretty good teams. We look forward to seeing each other in the playoffs." And then come injuries, and I'm just getting absolutely obliterated, which just makes me cry inside. And then guys who, yeah, it makes me weak. I'm looking at it now. Who have I got there who's injured? And my main guy across all leagues, and I think this is where mine is, like, I think that's really good with punting. And I think that's definitely the case. And you can never know, because a lot of our big men, we know big men tend to go down a lot, but injuries aren't discriminate. We just know that big guys who carry a lot of bulk on their body and who are a lot slower to return to the court, that just happens a lot. And getting these guys, I think, in a punt build, if you take too many of them, like a Walker Kessler and a Mark Williams, and if they all go out at once, your punt goes out the window and you've got to tactfully change in what you can do. And that's where you hope it's not the case, especially with Data Davis, who's, again, thank God, and I think only missed one game so far this year. It would petrify me. But I think where I'm going is now is not to invest too heavily in one player across leagues. And I know that you asked for this earlier in the season, and then I threw it out there to you. And my stats today, for some reason, have not been counted on Terry Rozier in industry pickup league. But this is my case in point.
Well, he didn't play today.
He didn't play today. There we go. But yeah. I've got Emmanuel. Oh, I didn't even. That's right. I didn't activate the spot. Emmanuel Quickley. There you go. I have Emmanuel Quickley in 7 of my 12 leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been, I think, my big thing is not to invest so much into a player, especially if you back them. Don't just be like, I love him so much, or I love Dyson. I love Dyson Daniels so much. I knew he was going to be good. On you, I got him in like, I think, 3 comps, 4 comps. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to take him everywhere just in case he's not. I think that's more of a strategy that I'm going to do in the future, is like not to back myself too heavily with any specific player more than in like a rule of this is a quarter of comps. I'm just going to go a quarter of comps. No matter what I do, that's my limit for one player, because otherwise you just get the same frustrations and the same bugbears across multiple leagues. And if you're listening right now, if you're watching this, hit us up, even in the comments, if you're watching this back on YouTube or listening to us on audio, put in chat who has been your bugbear player of the year, who you really maybe invested. Maybe it was Ja Morant. You're like, oh, he's going to bounce back. He's going to be great. And he's gone again. You saw the Zion workout photos, and Zion looked like an absolute beefcake. And he's injured again. And he did this to not be as injured. And so it kind of really hurts yourself there, mate. And it's just frustrating as all bloody hell. And we're not complaining about injuries. They happen. It's just we've got to find a way to mitigate our rosters. So, again, we need to factor in injuries, but maybe punting does help that. Also, maybe we don't invest too much in our draft picks in one particular player to avoid these frustrations that we know are normal in fantasy basketball.
Yeah, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer here. But, yeah, I certainly think that for me anyway, the punting strategy gives you a bit of a cushion, because as you said, if you do invest heavily in certain players, like I did with Isaiah Hartenstein and with Dyson Daniels as well, but he's been healthy, but Mark Williams, I've punted well enough that I have a big enough cushion in rebounds and blocks and field goal percentage that even when they're out, I'm still pretty comfortably the best team in the league in those categories. So yeah, I think to this point I'm pretty happy, but I certainly do like I look at a lot of my rosters and go, I shouldn't have drafted Isaiah Hartenstein everywhere, because although in a week or two I might not be saying that, because Chet is out and hopefully Hartenstein comes back and stays healthy and has the best season of his career.
I don't know if you're going to have a roster spot to activate him, because the second that you hear that Dwight Howard has taken that contract over from China to go over to the Oklahoma City Thunder, you're going to be picking up Dwight Howard in every single league that you can that you're punting.
Oh, those God.
I know you are. I know it's going to make you entirely sad on the inside, but you're going to do it, and so is a few people, just to live their best 2012 life. Yeah, talking about our best life, there are some guys who we're doing for breaking down for ADP battles. We do bring in an ADP battle each and every single week. Not just one, but 3. Kingy gets 2 one week, and I get 1, and then I get 2, and then he gets 1. This week, it's the stand for Kingy, and we have 2 ADP battles. And your first one is, funnily enough, involving one of our possibly disappointing first rounders, but also one of our most improved health players of the year. This is Trae Young versus LaMelo Ball, our first ADP battle of the night. Kingy, have at it.
Yeah, it's so I've got both of these guys in multiple teams, and that's why I thought Yeah, I mean, we came up with these. We looked at the ranks last week, so I can't remember what exact what ranks, but they were relatively close.
They were two. They were two apart last week. I remember they were two apart.
Okay. Similar players, like both point guards, both very usage heavy, but a little bit different in that Trae Young is more assists focused, where LaMelo is sort of usually gets some more steals, a better rebounder, and has been scoring the ball a little bit better than Trae this season, but they're fairly close. So I just think, for me, it's a tough one for me because I've actually got them both together in two leagues where I managed to get Trae sort of at 10 and then LaMelo at 15 or something like that. So
saucy.
And they've both been, as I'd hoped, I think they've both been relatively healthy. They've both played well, except for Trae Young's weird 7-point game today where he just refused to shoot the ball.
Last week is down to the 102nd ranked player, according to Basketball Monster, whereas LaMelo has jumped up since last week. But again, they're such similar guys.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah. I think if I had to pick one, like if someone sort of said, okay, you've got both these guys on your team, you need to trade one and hold one, I think I'd hold LaMelo. I still think LaMelo just has that slightly higher ceiling.
22 versus 49. Yeah.
But the injury risk. He's looked really good. The ankle hasn't bothered him thus far. Again, touch wood.
For you.
But I like, in terms of the trajectory, I suppose, of both teams, they're not, I don't know, I think they're both going to be playoff-ish, like play in top 10, because the East is so bad that you probably only need to be a 50% team and you'll make the playoffs or at least be thereabouts. So I don't think there's a clear preference here in terms of, this team is going to shut LaMelo down or this team is going to shut Trae down. So it's actually pretty close to me, but I think I'd lean LaMelo very slightly.
I think at current, taking out injury risk, because I actually balanced them both now on the injury ledger. You know, we've got this Achilles issue with Trae that's kind of going on in the background. I kind of lean him. This is an interesting one, though, from our boy D-Mac. D-Mac, jump on the show next week. Come on. Come play. Come play. Do some ADP battles. He's like, hey, guys, long-time follower. Yeah, I know you are. Who do you prefer in a 9-cat, Halley or Melo? Look, I'm preferring Melo right now. Just for fun. Just for the fun purposes that I think it's more intriguing for me. And I'm going to pick LaMelo in the ADP battle as well. Just because I think it's more fun for me to see LaMelo Ball play basketball for a sustained period of time. And I had the Halley experience last year and I loved it. I've seen Trae Young multiple times as well. But, wifey, you're the deciding factor. LaMelo Ball or Trae Young?
Trae Young.
Oh, don't say that.
Ball guy.
The ball guy, yes.
Ball also, guy.
What do you need at the table, my love? She's trying to...
I need your phone for Hotmail.
No, I need that for thanks.
I just need to get a card.
It needs a code from Hotmail. Jeez. Okay, go nuts. There we go. I need it for analytics.
I'm just having my... analytical purpose. Having my...
Yeah, you do want promos.
From my pink 4-in-1 here.
I'm wearing my pink standard squeeze shirt. Are you wearing your white square standard squeeze shirt?
I am.
You are. I'm going to drink from my lush blue one. And funnily enough, the pink one is the one that my wife has that I've sold the lid off. And that one. And look, strong in a, here we go. Look at this one. Strong in a punt basketball build. That was because I said, of course, that I prefer D-Mac there. But I think it's just been great to see LaMelo Ball play basketball again. So for me, I'm taking him in your battle. But this next one, this actually does make it interesting because these two are very similar. And we do involve Halliburton in this one. So it's almost like we scripted this just for you, D-Mac. James Harden, would you say a little bit down on expectations from, again, why is everyone going, oh, it's going to be Houston Rockets Harden again? He's not he's older.
Mm.
He's had a lot more chicken wings in the system and strip clubs over the years. But Halliburton, the upside is just continually and perpetually tantalizing with him, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Both have been a bit underwhelming. I think Halliburton more so. But yeah, I just pulled up Harden's numbers here, and we assumed he was probably going to be around 20 points a game. He's not going to be that 30.
100%.
But he's sitting at 9 assists, which is still very good, but probably down slightly. Steals are fine. For both of them, it's just their shooting. Harden's shooting 37.2%. Yeah. Halliburton's shooting 38.3%. So if they both of them get up to 43, 44, which really isn't asking that much, then they probably both jump inside the top 20, and we're not having this discussion.
And Harden is just over at 20 points a game, I think, over the course of the full season. He's like 20.1 points. Mm. And we expected him maybe to be around 20. I think I put him down at 22 was my projection. I kind of had him at 22 points a game. But it's kind of wild to think that the best player in fantasy basketball for the Los Angeles Clippers has been Norm Powell at times. It's really weird to see him as the leading scorer with 23 points, and he's filling out the stat sheet in many other ways. Again, big in Norm Powell fan, big in Norm Powell territory. But again, it's the percentages. Norm Powell is almost a 50 guy. He's 490 from the field, whereas James Harden is 372. And then you're right. You look at the numbers for Tyrese Halliburton, and we expected the Benedict Mathurin points, the team's leading scorer, almost at 19.6 points per game. Pascal Siakam at 20.5. But Tyrese down at 16 on that percentage of 383, it's just not what we want from our superstar. Like this guy last year before the injury, who was just, we were besotted with in fantasy world. Like the breakout that we all wanted had truly overwhelmed expectations far and beyond.
Yeah. I think, as I said, I think both have been about underwhelming. I would probably, if the decision was put to me, who would you prefer? I think I'd probably lean Halliburton still.
Yeah. I think I'd probably just take that there on the upside for Halliburton, but I think it is one. And yeah, Harden's still much better than last year, but turnovers and shooting percentage is hurting. It really is. And I don't know what we get out of him, but I do know that there is probably a chip on Tyrese Halliburton's shoulder for him to get a little bit better. So I do see that being the case for him. And I've got one for you, my last one for the night here. I'm going to ask you, because you don't know who this is, because this is my surprise one for you. And if you guess these players in chat, please do. This would be is their current ranking in fantasy basketball buoyed by injury? They play in the power forward spot. Just say Uno. Just, I don't know, it's not the same game, but just say Uno or Bingo if you get one of them. Go, oh, it could be this person. So think power forward centers, buoyed by people who are out through injuries. One was drafted quite high. One was drafted quite low. One is on a team with a potential breakout star that hasn't happened for whatever reason. And the other, again, is having the weight of their shoulders put on them in a team that needs to get some favor back and the expectations were high for. Are any bells ringing for you right now, Keith?
Not really. I don't know.
Jaren Jackson Jr. versus John Collins.
Yeah, okay. It's a pretty easy one for me, but yeah.
See, but this is the thing. I actually don't think it's easy for me. And I know it should be, because I drafted Jaren Jackson Jr. in a couple of leagues. I loved pairing him with Anthony Davis this year. Like if I had AD in the first round, my perfect pair is I'm getting Jaren Jackson Jr. to help buoy that up. I'm getting whatever I can juice in that power forward center spot, and I'm doing it. And I swooped into the waiver wire when Taylor Hendricks went down and I picked up John Collins. I had him in a couple of leagues, just like deep as like a six man of the year kind of bloke.
Yeah.
But on the course of the year after that Taylor Hendricks injuries gone down, John Collins has well and truly surpassed expectations to be currently the 32nd ranked player. And the question is, though, of both of these teams, who sustains the value? And I actually think it could be Collins sustains some form of value. Maybe not more than Jaren Jackson Jr., but Jaren Jackson's got Ja Morant, who's still out, who's been playing well. Jaren has been currently the 19th ranked player. over the course of the season. I think I love Jaren Jackson Jr., but isn't it really interesting exercise that maybe we could target in our leagues like Jaren Jackson Jr. Light by John Collins and actually get almost a very similar amount of juice from?
Yeah, he has been very good. I think he's had some luck go his way, obviously, but that's what it takes. That Hendricks injury, it was really huge, bad for Hendricks, but really good for John Collins. Kessler has also been out for a week, so that has meant that Collins has been able to start at centre. Look, a lot of things have gone his way, but he has been very good, and he is someone I don't have anywhere. I didn't draft him, and he wasn't really available. Like, he was drafted in most leagues, but typically sort of in that 120 range, somewhere like that. And so, yeah, I still think for me it's Jaren Jackson, but now, like, the next, I mean, we don't know how long Kessler's going to be out. We haven't really had an update. We know Hendricks is done for the season, obviously. Lauri Markkanen has been pretty bad.
Yeah.
The Jazz are just sort of clutching at straws at the moment, and John Collins has been their best player, and so he's just going to keep playing. So I would, if you've got Collins, I would certainly be trying to sell him, because I feel like once we get to February, he'll either be traded or sort of fake injured or whatever.
But he was the guy last year. This is the thing, though. This is the crazy thing. This was the guy last year when all this was happening who didn't get fake injured and out when they were doing the same kind of shenanigans. And they still rolled him out there. I don't know if it was to showcase him this year, but I think the winner for me is I still prefer Triple J overall. But isn't it interesting that you could maybe, like, maybe I could just swoop in and get John Collins for something? And get him at a, like, get similar production for a bargain basement price. Like, it's almost like Jaren Jackson Jr. on Black Friday sales early. Just go out and buy yourself a John Collins instead. They do the same job.
Yeah. No, they, as I said, he has been very good. And I think part of the reason they can roll him out there is because having him out there doesn't necessarily impact winning. He puts up numbers.
Exactly, right. But he does for our fantasy teams, and that's all we kind of care about.
He does, yeah. So, yeah, look, it's certainly an interesting one. My matchups that I had were coming into the season, they would be valid discussions to have before the season even started. Discussing John Collins versus Jaren Jackson before the season started,
it's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. And so I think for me, this is where it showcases that who wins the ADP battle? Well, it's clearly Triple J. But the fact that we're flirting with these guys in the season and we start looking over rankings and that they have these, like, oh, who can I get? It's not so much a buy low because, I mean, look at Fred VanVleet again today. Incredible. Like, another fantastic game from FVV on the back of his best game of the season previously. Another solid one from him. The buy low window on him is officially shut. I was like, oh, thank God. There's a lot of owners out there in fantasy land buying, like, breathing sighs of relief. But yet there's guys out there like Kyrie Irving who are producing first-round value. I know that Kyrie Irving is currently ninth on Basketball Monster. And Kyrie Irving, I've just got to go back at what he was over at Hashtag Basketball. This is another interesting conversation to have. Guys who 11th. This is Kyrie. But people don't want to give him the first-round flowers because he wasn't drafted. Oh, he can't be better than LaMelo or he can't be better than Tatum. Well, his actual numbers reflect that he is. And this is where we get these things tied in our head as managers. And it's really hard to draft a Kyrie. If you were to package Kyrie Irving for, and let's say John Collins for a Nikola Jokic, there'd be people out there who'd be tempted by that, but would say no. But if you're dropping your worst player to get that, would you do it for an AD? People would be like, no, auto declining. But when you've got guys who you could bring into Collins who could fill in some of those AD stats, and put a cherry on top of the dude and the prime piece in that trade is Kyrie Irving, I'd be batting a few eyelids going like, I think I might say yes to something like that.
Yeah, and you never know. I mean, if you're a John Collins manager or you're trying to get him, like, we talk about these hypothetical trades all the time and would you do it, wouldn't you do it? And you don't know unless you try. Like, just throw trades out there, and if people say no, which I usually do when people offer me trades.
Is that your default position as well? Like, for me, I'm always a no when someone comes to me. I had a guy offer me today. Oh, can I give you a bad trade? Can I go into the email? You said what you were going to say, and I'm going to show you this bad trade from today.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah. I'm usually a default no, but I'll certainly look at it. And I did. That was sort of in a dynasty league. I did make a trade already. I can't even remember who it was now, but so yeah, I typically don't make many trades, but I will if it's a good offer. Although I do think that sometimes people don't maybe and I mean it's I have to of course assume that of all the leagues I'm in, not everyone listens to my shows and the shows I'm on and reads my stuff. Yeah. And so I get offers from people and I go, do you know that I sort of know what I'm doing here? Like the offer is just so stupid. Like someone tried to get Dyson Daniels off me. There's your first mistake because there's no way Dyson Daniels.
So they tried to
offer me a top 80 player for Dyson Daniels. I went, no. Like why did you even bother sending that out? But no, if it's a decent one, I'll consider it.
Here's one today. I had Bradley Beal and he's been out. I had him for Grady Dick. And I'm like, no, I know Beal's been out a couple games, but that's, what are you doing? Like, what are we doing here? And the other one, I'm trying to fight it because it was so egregious and I want to hold it up because I think people should absolutely see this one. Someone has sent me a trade. I get trades for AD. I'm a very, very proud AD owner. And whatever it was, I had Anthony Davis sent for someone who was like, oh, Joel Embiid. There it was Joel Embiid for Anthony Davis. And I'm like, why did you do that?
Can you reply with the poo emoji or something like that's disgusting.
I actually, those were the exact words that I used, Kingy. I'm like, that's disgusting. And I laughed so hard. It was the laughy face that was like the one that's tilted on the side, like dying out the side laughter. Yeah. That was the kind of trades that I've been sending out. If you've been sent, I'm going to tweet this out this week. Next week, we are going to do a shit trade show. We are going to get people to send us screenshots of their worst and most abysmal trades. We're going to spam this on the Insight page. We're going to spam this on the FBI basketball page. And let's get some truly outrageous trades that have been, and you've got to, it's got to be sent to you. You just can't be sending them out in your leagues now and being like, oh, look what you have to be like, look at the shit trade I made. And laughing like a girl. Here we go. Got to give overs sometimes on face value to get people interested in trading with you. Give 100%. And this is where Slippin' Jimmy, would you like to slip the Jimmy? I bet you he has. I always like to offer two for ones, especially if I know this guy's similar. I want to clear some roster space. I just made a trade. What it was, I just traded one of my other ones. I got Jaren Jackson. That trade for Jaren Jackson Jr., I can't remember, but I packaged Rishi Shea with him. So I was like given someone who's got a lot of upside, and I just gave overs and to see how it went. And it worked. And the guy was like, yeah, I'm into it. I didn't even get a text or anything back. It just got accepted. I'm like, great. But I'm always trying to give just if there's a piece that I want. But I also like to optimize. I don't know, Kingy, when you trade, are you also trying to optimize your roster spots a little bit? Just be like, you know what? I'm just going to get cut some fat. Not that they're bad, but just so I can bring in a streamer a little bit more.
Yeah, sometimes. And I can often do that in my leagues. Like I can – Because I punt, I can trade two for one. And I did it last year in industry pickup. I can package two centers because I have 13 centers. And so I can send out a package that's going to get someone sort of 18 rebounds and three blocks and get a top 10 guy back or a top 15 guy back. And it doesn't impact me at all other than it frees up a roster spot for me to be able to stream on a week when I've lost three of my guards and I need steals. So I can stream in Alex Caruso or something like that. So, I like two for ones. They're obviously a little bit harder to gauge in terms of face value. It's not as easy as one versus one. But as I said, throw trades out there because you never know. You can assume people will say no, but Yep. As we will hopefully find out next week, there are a lot of bad trades that take place. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see what we get.
This is going to be a lot of fun. I would really love to see that people actually think the value of one guy. And if you get attached text messages to it or messages like, oh, this is great. Grady Dick is flying really high. Yes, he is, because Scotty Barnes and Emmanuel Quickley have been out. And he might get some value back later. And you just think, I'm going to give you Bradley Beal because he hasn't played the last couple of games. And anyway, it makes no sense, but we are going to have an absolute blast with that. Kingy, thank you so much. Tell us what is on the go for you during the coming week, mate.
Just fairly standard stuff now, just the daily show, the stuff on Twitter and on Blue Sky, where we are Blue Skying. So
you're Blue Skying
seems to be gaining some momentum.
Yeah.
It still doesn't appear to be as active as Twitter, the numbers are going up, and it'd be interesting to see if it ever does take over Twitter. I'm skeptical, but that's sort of based on the fact that it hasn't happened yet.
Or people just don't like Elon Musk right now. It's one of the two things.
Yeah, it is. On Twitter, on Blue Sky, the regular shows, and I think I'm almost sort of not a co-host, but a special guest on Skiddy's Saturday morning show now, because I've done that a couple of times, and he's welcomed me back. So I'll jump on with him whenever I can.
I did tell you this, and you know this. Any single time there is an Insight podcast, you are absolutely more than welcome to be on that bad boy. Like you have keys to the kingdom, Kingy.
Yeah, and I like it. It's good jumping on with Skiddy and breaking down the schedule. It's always a good size schedule when we go through it. So yeah, no, it's fun. Sit back and have the versatility of my 4-in-1. I had a coffee in it on Saturday morning, and now I have a Howler Head and Cola. Oh, where's my camera? Howler Head.
That's and nice. Cola,
which is
what is on, that?
If I can get it up there. Oh, you can't really read it.
Is that a monkey? So is that a monkey with sunglasses?
It is. It is. Oh, hang on, God, I'm bad at this.
Chimpanzee.
It's a chimpanzee, and it's actually bourbon whiskey with natural banana flavor and cola. So there you go.
That sounds like a chupa. That sounds like an alcoholic chupa jump in your mouth.
they're quite nice, actually. I discovered them a while ago, and whenever they're on sale, I grab a 4-pack from Coles.
I've got something in the. There's a thing called Starry, and the wife can't drink right now because obviously she's like seven months pregnant right now. So she's not doing it very easily. But this thing's called Starry, and it's got guava and prickly pear. So I'm very curious to break. Curious to break that out very, very soon. Make sure you do. Obviously, if you don't already, I don't know why. It's at AdamKing91 on X, and over at Blue Sky, I am at NBAGWiz, or over on Blue Sky at NBA Matty G. And still trying to figure out how to change my name on Twitter to do that, because I changed my handle, but can't change my handle apparently without messaging or getting into Elon's DMs, which is a rabbit hole I don't want to go down. You can do all of the things. Catch up with us soon. Make sure you like and subscribe to all things at FBI Basketball International, and of course at Insight Fantasy Sports. We are Insight FS. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much for joining us live for the crossover. Take care, everyone.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.